Okay, this is Sunday morning, 2/26/23, and this is going to be a teaching called Maintaining Humility. All right, I'm going to read a little bit here. In these days, there seems to be a spirit of arrogance among those that proclaim the truth. I've picked up on this on many occasions, a talking down to because they know the truth and others are still asleep. The Lord began to speak to me about this, and so I want to relay it to you. A boasting of God woke us up, but not you. You understand that? We're superior to you because we are awake and you're not. We need to keep this in the right perspective. Those that are awake is for God's reasons, and we need to understand why that is. God is love, and He is about restoring His people. Not just those when Jesus was here, but all of God's people. I remember Dolores O'Brien, who was a friend of Kim Clement. She was hearing some of these programmers, and I'm not just talking about just little ones. I'm talking about the big ones, talking about, well, you know, they're not going to sin with the rest of us. If they can't wake up and all that, they're not going to sin with the rest of us. And she said, I have a problem with that. There's nobody left behind. Nobody left behind. See, that kind of arrogancy, that I hear it a lot. Well, the Lord hears it too, didn't like it. As those that know the truth, speaking specifically to this fellowship and those that will hear this message, God is about lifting and not tearing down. He is about helping and not hurting. It is to help those that are struggling and just don't know what to do, to show them the way. Jesus is the way. I can't think of a better way to wake someone up than to show them compassion. Jesus' mission is also our mission. He said in Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, if you don't ascend, then they'll take you off planet somewhere because you can't exist here with us in 5D. Ain't nothing about 5D in the Bible. What happened to MAGA? What happened to where we go one, we go all? Isn't that what Q says? Where we go one, we go all. Satan has already divided us. Is this helping bring us together? The devil's tried to split the truther movement in so many factions. That's why the Lord said, stay with MAGA. Stay with my president. You're awake to show the way. The way is Jesus. He didn't wake you up to get on the ascension bandwagon. All ascension is coming up higher in your thinking. That's all in the world it is. And they make it sound like it's some do-do-do-do event, and I'm just going, well, I don't know if I'll stay on this planet or there's another earth. They'll take all them over to other earth. I'm going, where are they getting this crap? The toilet, where most crap comes from or goes into. The way is not of those that have all their special intel that nobody else does. Intel's great, but if it don't line up with this, it's worth, you know what? John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ain't going nowhere to no other place but here, and it'll be by Jesus or it won't be at all. You can send that to the Palladians and the Octorians too, and all the rest of them. I'm telling you, I feel like I'm in a sci-fi movie, don't you? Well, I have this special source and I have this special intel, but I can't tell you what it is. Then what good is it? Does this sound familiar to you? Most of these so-called truthers have NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. How is that helping to wake up more people? I think it has backfired and it is dividing people instead. Right here. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. If they can't say that, maybe we don't need to ever listen to them again. That's what bothers me about the movement. If it's outside of Christ, no, it's not good. I'm not trying to trash the Truth or Community in any way, because there are some good ones out there. There's a lot of misinformation, though. There are some that have the right heart, and when they get something, they dish it out. They're about getting it out to the people. They want the people to know, and I appreciate that. But don't think for a minute that there are some aren't some wolves among the sheep, because there are. God is always about choice and free will, and I believe we're to be following the Lord, and if He has something for us to give, He will make a way for that delivery. It will bless the recipient and not cause strife or division. The adage is true. They don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Everyone has a different path, and that path is between them and God. We are to walk softly and stay humble. That's what I think, you know, a lot of people are really mad at the Whitehead Alliance because they're doing the things the way they're doing it. But, you know, they're not going to project what they're doing, and they shouldn't. President Trump said, never again will we let our enemies know what we're doing. That's how we got in this mess. So they're not going to tell them. You can squawk and cry and bawl and all over social media, but it ain't going to change their mind. All right. We'll look at some scriptures here. Luke chapter 18. Starting with verse 9 there. Talking about maintaining humility. This is all about Jesus and His coming. This isn't about all this other garbage. It's about Jesus and His coming. And us getting as many people ready on board with that as we can. Luke 18:9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Do you feel that way? Kind of like, you ain't nothing because you ain't got what we got. You know, you're just out of the loop. But I'm going, well, I think I want to stay out of your loop. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men. You know, they're vaxxed, and I'm not. That I'm not as other men, or extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his own breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased. He that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'm telling you, I want to be the not the exalted one. No. Each person is a sovereign being created by God. God does not take kindly that His sovereigns are being treated badly in any way, from the lowliest one, especially as little ones, as babies. We are not to even bash our leaders, but pray for them. They may be wicked to the core, but it doesn't say bash your leaders, bash them that despitefully use you. No, He said, pray for them. Why? So that God could intervene in their lives and they would come to know the Lord if possible. If we're bashing them, we're cutting off even more so them ever coming to the Lord. But if we're asking the Lord to do this, then we keep the way open for Him to be able to intervene. Because He's the one that raises up and pulls down another. All right, go with me to Luke chapter 6. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Oh, Lord, that's pushing it. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away from thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Huh? Kind of connected, huh? Pressed down, good measure, or good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given to your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all shall be measured to you again. How about that? And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Kind of like there's a toothpick in their eye and a telephone pole in yours. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Then he goes on to talk about the good tree bringeth forth corrupt, or the bad tree bringeth forth bad fruit. Good tree, good fruit. Anything that God requires of us to do for another, it is rewarded. Anything. Right here, this is Mark. Mark 9:41. You know, if we do things because we just, God's put love in us to help people and do things for them, we're not looking for them to pay us back or whatever. 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. There are things that we do because God is requiring it of us. And when we look at it that we're doing it as unto the Lord, he said, I'll reward you for what you're doing. God is very much about where we go one, we go all. No man left behind. Each one is a special treasure in God's eyes. Every person, there's no one to be discounted. There's no one to be looked at as unworthy. God doesn't see it that way. He sent his own son. Think about that. Sent his own child to save the world, so they would never have to go to a devil's hell, but they could live with him forever. That's what he wanted. I know this. Those that have been given this information better use it wisely and not abuse God's people. If the white hats are out of line, they will answer to God for it. People, I just want to shout sometimes and think, where's the God element in this? It's such a natural, all this going around, all this cyber everything, this huge psyop. And people, they tend to forget God in the equation. And then you've got the fear mongers. They always see the negative side of everything. The glass is always half empty. Don't matter what comes down the pike. That's all you're going to hear from them. I just don't listen to that. I like to listen to those that say, yes, we're winning. God's on the throne. That's the ones you listen to. All right? Okay. We have been given a lot, and with that comes responsibility, but we by no means have it all. Nobody, not even Q, has it all. God has it all. If they don't get God at the top of this, Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now listen to this. It is not our job to change anyone. This is the Lord's job. Arrogancy could keep many away. With humility and compassion, it will keep the door of communication open. This is Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Nobody wants to hear arrogancy, that I know all of this stuff and you don't, and knock them down with it. I know that I talk quite a lot against boycotting. It's not just goods and services, it's people. If we cut people off because they are no longer of use as far as we're concerned, or they're not like us. See, if they're not like us. See how the devil tries to divide us? Okay. The Lord is helping us to not discount anyone. If he says they are clean, then they are clean. It's like with Peter. As we go in, led by the Spirit, there will be people that we dislike, but God sends us on missions. We can't bail just because we don't like stuff, you know, certain things. If we did, we would never get anything done. Don't boycott, especially people, whether vaccinated or they're whatever. They don't know anything. They don't know the truth. Well, you don't know all of it either. No one does except God. He knows everything. And if they're talking about they have it all, if Q's saying we have it all, we know it all, is if it's because God's shown it all, then okay, I can agree with that. But because you're using looking glass or something else, I cannot go along with that. God knows more than looking glass, I'm sorry. Okay, Mark 11. All right, where's Mark? There, I'm already in Mark. Just a page over. Don't boycott. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. That's what he told us to do. Change it. You don't like what they're doing down there at that store? Then speak what you want. Like I said, if you keep boycotting, there ain't going to be anybody left. There's not going to be any businesses left. I mean, we just heard just the other day, there's a bunch of big box stores going down. Walmart's one of them. They're all Bed Bath & Beyond. I can't remember all of them. There was a whole long list of them. I'm thinking, we think that's, well, no big deal. Yeah, it is a big deal. All our sources of supply are drying up. Why? Because Christians boycott. They say, we're not going to you anymore. Picket. Sign petitions against. We're for things. We're not against things. We want this earth to be able to operate, right? Think about everything that you use if it just disappeared overnight. All right, Mark 4. All right, the sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. We got a church full of people that are offended about everything. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they that are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. We don't come against companies. We don't come against people. We speak what we want. We don't let cares, right here, it tells you the conditions. It has nothing to do with what you like or don't like. It's about standing and not quitting. We can't let the devil have it. Most people are like, well, that's already won. Get out your popcorn. I don't think it is. I think we still got a stand to take. Because I don't think it's going to advance until the white hats see us getting up off our rears and doing something. They're waiting on, why don't we have intel? Why don't we have this? Why don't we have that? Because you're sitting on your couch watching the mainstream media. God is expecting his people to do something, to occupy. I'm not getting on y'all. This message doesn't just go to y'all. Remember that. I just bring what the Lord gives me, okay? I don't always like it. All right. There will come a time that God will separate the sheep from the goats. This is not our job. We are to stand and keep on standing where God places us, and then the breakthrough comes. If we don't get this understanding, we will not be able to complete the work God has planned, and we won't be able to receive all the blessings he has planned for us. It's like the troops in the field complaining because the enemy is firing bullets at them. Does that make any sense? This is warfare, duh. Yeah? I was thinking about when Danny went to work for Darko. He was only there 3 weeks, but all hell broke loose against him, but he was in God's perfect will. Yeah. I mean, God finally brought him around, but it took about 10 years delay to get him, wasn't that about right? 5 years delay to get him back where he needed to be. The enemy tried to keep us spinning our wheels and walking in the flesh to keep us ineffective in the kingdom of God. He knows how powerful we are, but the problem is we don't. Why would you quit? Because you don't know how powerful you are. Yeah. Another arrogancy that the Lord brought up to me was the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. It is so easy to have an I told you so attitude. This is where compassion comes in. These people are going to be scared to death. I'm not so sure this in the part where it says men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming on the earth. And you have doctors up there spouting all this about they're expecting 2.5 million to die. I'm going, I don't know if they're speaking the truth or not, but dear God, I'm so tired of the fear pushing. Listen to those that are saying, we got something that'll help you. People need hope. They don't need to be more dashed down than they already are. You know how weary and worn out we are? Just think about those that don't have the strength and God helping them like we do. They don't have that understanding yet in their life. They're scared. What I had about your husband, that fear came against me like, bam! I thought, dear God, he's scared. I do not believe that it is beyond God's help if a person has been vaxxed. I don't. If it's true that they poisoned everything, been poisoning our air, poisoning our food, poisoning our water, whatever, well, the Word of God says, you know, if you drink anything, it wouldn't hurt you. If that's true, and they've vaxxed us all our lives, you're thinking, well, we're still standing, aren't we? We're still alive. We're still healthy. I guess it's just what you believe about it, huh? And say about it. Speak about it. All right, James chapter 5. We need to offer this to people as the Lord leads. 5:14 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." This isn't trying to get somebody to confess their sins. It's not a demeaning thing, but like Jesus would say, "Your sins be forgiven you," after someone was healed. He'd say, "Your sins be forgiven you." He didn't ask what the sin was. He probably already knew. He just said, "Your sins be forgiven you." It was a release. It's a releasing of sin to receive healing. "Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." All right, this is not a prayer of judgment, but for compassion and restoration. Romans 3:23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Every one of us. Isn't that why Jesus came? He knew we couldn't do it. That's why he did it for us. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved and receive remission of sins." It'd take us a lifetime to sit down and think of everything that we've ever done wrong, right? If that was the case, we'd still be at the altar. I agree that the trial is very hard at times, but the deeper we go with God, the higher up we climb, the fierier the trial will be. It's like I could see us climbing Babel at 200 mile around tower. They're trying to build it to the heavens. It said it took them a year or 2 years to get to the top. I can't remember. I'm thinking, wow. Well, that's where the demons are. They're the ones that are on all seven mountains. So on our way up, we're getting flak attack. All right. Paul knew a lot about that. We just read that in the other words, so I won't read it again, about what he went through. All the things. Well, I will read it again. It's just three verses. This is 2 Corinthians 12. We need to know that this is the way it is with Christians. This isn't, well, we're just somebody's different than anybody else. No, this is the way it's supposed to be. He's talking about his thorn in the flesh. But over here, I mean, they did everything to him. But he got to the place he could sit, "I take pleasure in it." That's how he was made strong. See, God is just wanting us to have compassion towards people, not to write anybody off, even though the movement in itself is doing that. And I hate to see it. But with these revivals breaking out with these kids and stuff, I'm thinking, finally, the God element is appearing on the scene. And for no coincidence, there's 17 different universities. Yeah. All right. Grace is God's ability. None of us can do it ourselves, but with God's grace, we can overcome it. God has brought you to this place for a reason. He wants to use you to help others. People are scared and struggling. They need help with the burdens that they have. We have the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God in their lives. There's a song that I told you, and there it is right there. Is it a Keith Moore song? Is that a Keith Moore song? "Got the yoke-destroying, burden-removing power of God in my life." Yeah. This ministry is designed to set people free from the strongholds of their minds. God's love has us thinking about the other fella over ourselves. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, have died. And I'm sure there's a lot more that are going to die. And just think about it. If you see somebody, will you ever see them again? I don't know, because you don't know what's real. It's like it's nearly like we've been flooded, like an actual flood of false information. Just everywhere you look, it's lies. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love for and in us, I'm only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not God's love in me, I'm nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long and is impatient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful, vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It's not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. This is a good gauge to know if we really are walking in God's love. Now we know why the multitude flocked to Jesus. They always had the Pharisees heaping burdens on them, the religious leaders of the day, just heaped burdens on them. I thought about that lady that for 18 years was bent over. And they complained to Jesus because he healed her in the synagogue there. Yeah, it was on the Sabbath day too. All they cared about was if he properly walked under the law right. And that poor woman had been bound 18 years. Yeah. Tell you, people's hearts. It's horrible. Okay. They were used to the Pharisees heaping burdens on them so much like our times. The Pharisees were mean-spirited. But Jesus brought to the people God's love for them. The Pharisees didn't care about the people. They cared about this. Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed, has it? People, all people need hope. Isn't hope the basis of our faith? Hebrews 11:1. Hope is the substance of our faith. Come over there to Hebrews. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. We need to give people hope. Now, I hope you see the mission that God has set before us. It is to give people hope. This is God's plan. This is Jeremiah 29:11 out of the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope and a final outcome. We cannot forget, I don't care who's speaking and whoever we listen to, that this is God's jubilee for his people. End of story. Now, the Alliance, Q, he's using them in this movement, just like he's used all men throughout biblical history when he was doing his resets. But you know why I know that we're in the time of Jesus coming? Because if you think about it, when they begin to touch the children, what happened? Every time they begin to touch the children, in Moses' day, they were killing all the males, 2 years old and under. Jesus' day, all the males, 2 years old and under. Now, abortion, even after the baby's born, you can decide you can just kill the baby. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preadventure will give them repentance to the knowledge and know the truth. Now we don't argue with people, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. That's what this ministry is about. Okay, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yeah. God can move through a humble person. Why? Because we're just vessels. Because he wants someone that moves out of the way so his glory can shine through them. All right. We are following the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We as faith people can get hard-nosed about this. We remember that we are not the author or the finisher of anyone's faith. Let that sink in. Some people, no matter what you do, they are not going to just use, they're not going to just use God's medicine. They're not going to. They're not there. The best we can do is to encourage them to do both until they wean themselves off of the Babylonian system. This is where grace and humility come in. We must allow that for them, even if we have a word from God that is different. I'm in a situation like that right now, that God has given me a definite word for someone. And that person even had the same word from God. And you just think, but I know they're not there. So I'm going, what do I do, Lord? And that's when he said, you just have to meet them where they're at. If they think having the surgery or going to the doctor or whatever, if that's the only way that they can do it, don't forbid them to do it. Don't tell them, no, you can't do that. You may be there, but they may not be there. See, Jesus is the author and finisher of someone's faith, not us. We cannot take the responsibility of somebody else's faith. Because what happens if they do what you say and they die? See, this is that arrogance I'm talking about. Even as faith people, we can get a little presumptuous thinking, you know. Well, all right. I know that they will not do what God says in his word that he's already done. I mean, they're not. But it would be wrong of me to try to push it on them or you to push it on them and force them to do something that they're not ready to do. And something did happen. Yeah. Or to say, well, I told you so. That helps, right? Oh, that just really helps. No, it doesn't. All right. You got to meet them where they are. I know Brother Capps was really good in this area. He talked about that, about not building a, you can't build a third story on a vacant lot. If they're at the vacant lot and you're on the third story, you know, if you're going to stand in faith for them, you're going to have to believe them where they're at. More than likely, you're not going to bring them up to where you are. All right? Now you can encourage them. You can give them the word and say, okay, when you take your regular meds, take this med, God's meds, to kind of get them to thinking in that, you know, if you, but I don't have time and I can't remember. You remember those medications from the doctor like clockwork. I hear it going off on your phone. So don't tell me you can't. Mm-hmm. You just don't want to. Yeah. But remember, we were all once there. All right. All right, let's keep going here. I'm nearly done. A few scriptures. Hebrews 12. Verse 1 there, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight And the sin would just so easily beset us and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forsaken the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. This is all part of the faith walk, but some are just not there yet. You know? It's not easy to walk by faith, but it's possible. Okay, Philippians 2:12. It says here, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, how can I be telling anybody else anything? I got enough on my own plate just dealing with my stuff, you know? Which I don't believe we're supposed to be occupied with our stuff, but you know what I'm talking about. If we were perfected and we had it all together, we might be able to have a say. But you just can't tell a person what they need to do unless God has given you a word, and then it's their choice. Yeah. All right, Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peace. We need to maintain peace. That's why I've gotten to where I don't say anything, really. I'm not around that many people, but I just don't say anything about anything anymore, because I'm thinking it's not worth disrupting the peace unless the Lord sets it up and they ask and then you're able to interject. There's just wisdom in that. Then they can say, well, I asked, you know. It's not just you pounding on somebody and they're having to hear you and they didn't ask. Yeah. Nobody likes that, so. All right, Ephesians 4:3. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body of peace, or in the bond of peace, not body, in the bond of peace. There's a lot to be said, peace. All right, 2 Corinthians, go back, 13:11. Kind of was going backwards. This is 2 Corinthians 13:1. Is that right? I guess so. 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. See, maintaining the peace, it may be a compromise, but you maintain the peace. I don't mean selling God out. I mean, you know, when it comes to someone in their faith, when you're trying to help someone or you're, you know, got a decision to make, sometimes you might have to meet in the middle. Okay, this is Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Right here it's talking about, for me, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh nor drink wine or anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. If you have faith, have it to yourself before God. In other words, it's between thyself and God. If you're around people, they're just not up to the standard that you are. You may just have to just, Well, I won't eat that if they're going to offend them. You think about, I would rather walk in love and stay in peace than to do something that I know is going to offend them. Yeah. All right, one more. This is Romans 14, 19. Well, that's what I just read. Okay, I'm done here. Okay.